The Barrackay Mystery, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. Part of the appeal of Arthur Upfield's stories lies in their authentic portrayal of many aspects of outback Australian life in the 1930s and through into the 1950s. The dialogue especially is a faithful evocation of how people spoke. Hence, these books reflect and depict the attitudes and ways of speech, particularly with regard to Aborigines and to women, which were then commonplace. In reproducing these books, the publisher does not endorse the attitudes or opinions they express. Chapter 1. The Sundowner.
"But what we have to remember, Anne, is that Ralph one day may find out," he argued. "Would it not be better for us to tell him gently than for someone to tell him roughly that he is not your son, but the son of a woman who is our cook?"
"I see neither the reason nor the necessity," she said, her eyes on the darting needle. "Mary, his mother, is dead. The doctor who brought him into the world is dead. Don't you remember how ill I was when Ralph was born? Ill and nearly mad with grief because my baby died? In her last moments, Mary gave him to me. She saw me take the baby with a cry of joy and cover it with hungry kisses. And when Mary died, she was smiling.
But..."
"No, no, John, don't argue," she pleaded. "I made him mine, and mine he must be always. If he knows I am not his real mother, there will be a difference. There will arise a barrier between him and me, no matter how we try to keep it down."
The woman's passionate desire for a baby, and subsequently her sublime love for another woman's child, had always been a matter of wonder to John Thornton. He, no less than his wife, had been deeply grieved at the death of his day-old heir, and he, with her, had opened his heart to the adopted boy. But he was a man who hated secrets or subterfuge. His mind would have been relieved of the one burden in his life had his wife agreed to their adopted son being informed of his real parentage. Still, he struggled. "Ralph was too fine a lad to allow the knowledge to make any difference," he said. "We know that Mary wouldn't name her betrayer to us, but the man likely enough is alive and knows our secret. We can never be safe from him. He may come forward any day, probably try to blackmail us. If such a thing should happen, we should be obliged to tell Ralph, and the boy would then be perfectly justified in blaming us for our silence."
"Mary's betrayer would have come forward long ago if he intended to get money by blackmail," she countered.
"But the possibility remains. Again, one day Ralph will marry. It might be Kate or Sir Walter Thorley's daughter. Think of the recriminations that would occur then. Can't you see that absolute frankness now would be better for the lad and better for us?
The past lies buried 20 years deep, John. Ralph is safe. I made him my baby. Do not ask me to put him from me."
The man gave the sigh of the vanquished. Rising to his feet, he said, "All right, have it your own way. I hope it may be for the best."
"I'm sure it will, John," she murmured.
And then, by way of final dismissal of the subject, she changed it.
"Who is it working among the orange trees? Is he a new hand?"
The squatter paused in his walk along the veranda to say,
"Yes, I put him on this morning. I thought I knew him at first, but he says he's been all his life in Queensland. He answers to the name of William Clare."
Mrs. Thornton leaned back in her chair, her eyes closed as though relieved from great strain, and about her firm mouth was the ghost of a smile.